President Bush is at Camp David this weekend. He's been on a national tour to promote the nearly $2 trillion budget plan he unveiled earlier this week. At the center of the budget plan is a tax cut. Now, the president hopes to reduce taxes for all Americans by $1.6 trillion over the next 10 years, but Democrats say the reductions would mostly benefit the nation's wealthiest taxpayers. The House Ways and Means Committee has already passed a Republican-sponsored plan to set income tax reductions in motion. A vote in the full House is expected next week. Our Dan Shore spoke about the administration plan with Mitch Daniels, director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, and Bob Greenstein, executive director of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Mitch, my first question goes to you. The House Ways and Means Committee has already acted with great haste on an important part of the president's tax plan, and it looks as though the House will act on it next week. What's the big hurry?
Well, we appreciate their enthusiasm, and I suspect their hurry stems in part from a wobbly economy. There is some sentiment, and I think it's shared really in both parties, including those who would prefer a smaller tax relief measure. There is some sentiment for accelerating some relief, particularly to income taxpayers toward the lower end of the scale.
And Bob, what do you think of that?
Well, I do think there's too much haste here because we really shouldn't be rushing ahead on big tax cut pieces. The piece Ways and Means approved on Thursday costs nearly $1 trillion over 10 years until we know how the various pieces of the budget fit together. To what degree might we need to, for example, cut other important programs or short other important priorities in order to make room for the tax cut? That's why the normal procedure on Capitol Hill is to do a budget first and then proceed with elements like the tax cut.
Yeah, now, Mitch, that leads me to my next question. I had understood that when the president came out on February 28th with his budget message, then we would know how his tax plan fit into the whole budget. But when you look at the budget, there are some significant numbers that are not there. We don't know, for example, how much defense will cost because there apparently is a review underway. Social Security, similarly, there's a review underway. Is it wise to go ahead with your tax plan before we really know the budget?
It wouldn't be wise if we didn't know, but we do. In fact, we tried to construct this budget in a very cautious and conservative way that takes full account of the concern that we cannot know the future with great precision. And so, for instance, while leaving $600 billion of Social Security surplus uncommitted, this is money beyond what can be spent without unthinkable penalties to repay debt, on top of that, we have left $1 trillion for new needs and contingencies. What might those be? Of course, one might be that the surplus is not as big as forecast, although I can bore you in detail about why it might be much bigger. And new needs, we fully recognize there may be some above the natural inflationary growth in the budget, and you named defense as one possibility.
Mm-hmm. Bob?
I couldn't disagree more, Dan. This is the most incomplete budget I've seen in 30 years. There are only real details on one issue, the big tax cut. There's not enough money for Medicare to do more than a meager drug benefit. You can't tell just what the proposal is because there aren't details. There are several $100 billion in unspecified domestic program cuts here. You can't tell what they are because they're not specified.
Bob,
there's an education increase, but based on the figures in the budget, for each dollar of increase in education, there appears to be a dollar down the road in cuts in job training or other programs. But there are no details on virtually anything other than the tax cut. In fact, the conclusion I draw from this budget is that it's purposely light on details so that we can't tell what the trade-offs are that relate to the tax cut until after the tax cut's already in law.
Is that true, Mitch?
No, completely wrong, but maybe if Bob spends a little time this weekend with a document, he'll catch up to the facts here. In fact, there are no downstream cuts at all. We propose growth in the budget, even after observing that there's been an unprecedented binge the last 3 years. We did not propose to roll that back or to cut it in any way, but rather to grow it. And the budget then further assumes that off this new record base of $1.95 trillion, that it will grow at least at inflation. Now, as to uncertainty, we then provide, because we agree, that it would be false precision to try to pin down definitively future spending on some of these needs. We purposely set another $1 trillion aside, recognizing that new needs may not be fundable by any reductions in current programming. So Bob runs an organization very sincerely dedicated to growing the size of the federal government. And this budget, although we might resist those ideas in the future, certainly provides a lot of room for that growth.
Well, let me be clear. One of the main goals of our organization is fiscal responsibility. And we have allied with the Concord Coalition on many occasions in the past. Part of my concern about this budget is this trillion-dollar reserve Mitch just mentioned. It's basically an illusion. First, the actual figure they print isn't a trillion. It's a little over $800 billion, but it turns out that more than half of that isn't really a contingency fund. It's the surpluses that are building up in the Medicare Hospital Insurance Trust Fund that up until now both parties have said should be set to the side and not used to fund tax cuts or other programs. This budget engages in a, I'd say from a PR standpoint, a kind of a brilliant presentation, but it's quite misleading. It has no money for the forthcoming National Missile Defense proposal. Then with regard to the spending cuts, Mitch, if you look at your own budget, you have one table that says that you want $260 billion over the next 10 years in increases in education, defense, health research, and a few other areas. But the part of the budget that all of those are in, you only allow a total of $30 billion in overall increases in. What you're really saying is that there are going to be $230 billion in cuts in other parts of the non-entitlement budget. This is everything from child care and health safety and airport safety, the environment,
Bob,
but you don't specify where any of those $230 billion in cuts are going to come from.
Mitch, we have only a few seconds left, but they're yours.
Well, let me just center on one important issue that Bob raised. It has to do with the so-called Medicare surplus. Medicare is actually running an enormous deficit. It costs this year $40 billion more than it takes in. Confusing ourselves that it has a surplus will only lead to procrastination in reforming a program urgently in need of reform. And talking about taking that money off the table, as people loosely do, when we're already paying all the debt you can, leads to only one outcome, and that is the investment, or I should say speculation, in the stock market and credit markets with Medicare money, which would be a drastic change in government policy, one this administration would oppose.
I'm afraid we've run out of time. Thank you, Mitch Daniels, the insider, and thank you, Bob Greenstein, the outsider. I think I did not succeed in bringing you together, but maybe next year. This is Daniel Shore.